News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sen Gupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. After tweeting, Metro Man E. Sridharan, who recently joined the BJP, will be its chief ministerial candidate for the Kerala Assembly elections on April 6. Union Minister V. Muralidharan clarified on Thursday that the party has not made any such announcement. Muralidharan, who tweeted in this regard earlier, clarified, saying he wanted to inform that through media reports he learned that the party has announced Sridharan as the chief ministerial candidate. But when he cross-checked with Kerala Party President K. Surendran, he said he has not made any such announcements, Muralidharan, who is also a former BJP state president, said. In his tweet, Muralidharan had said, BJP for Keralam will fight Kerala polls with E. Sridharanji as its chief ministerial candidate. We will defeat both CPIM Kerala and INC Kerala to provide a corruption-free, development-oriented governance for the people of Kerala. His social media post on Sridharan's leadership in the assembly polls came hours after Surendran said he has requested the party's national leadership to announce Metro Man as the NDA's chief ministerial candidate. Referring to Muralidharan's clarification tweets, Congress leader Shashi Tharoor took a dig at the BJP, saying the Saffron party was confused. Hilarious. BJP for Kerala manages to be confused about who will occupy the top floor of a building that will never be built. There will be no BJP CM in Kerala, Tharoor tweeted. The development came on a day the 88-year-old technocrat announced his decision to end his 24-year-long career with the Delhi Metro Rail Corporation to enter electoral politics. Earlier, Surendran, who is leading the party's Vijay Yatra, said, if the NDA, under the leadership of Metro Man, gets an opportunity to rule the state, we are confident we will be able to implement development works under Prime Minister Narendra Modi with a tenfold force in Kerala. Addressing a party meeting in Thiruvallur, Surendran highlighted the achievements of Sridharan, including the completion of the reconstruction of Palarivattum flyover in 5 months, much ahead of the stipulated time. He completed the project in 5 months without any corruption. That is why we requested Sridharan and our party leadership that he should be projected as the NDA's chief minister candidate, he said at the meeting organized as part of the Vijay Yatra led by him. This was the first time the party indicated that Sridharan will be the NDA's chief ministerial candidate. The party sought to project Sridharan's leadership in the polls amid the process of determining the candidates for the assembly election. Sridharan has said his main aim is to help the party come to power in Kerala and that he will be open to chief ministership. He has also said the focus will be on developing infrastructure in a big way and bring the state out of the debt trap if the BJP wins the assembly polls. Meanwhile, the curtains came down on his 24-year-long career with the Delhi Metro Rail Corporation as he wore the DMRC's outdoor uniform one last time on Thursday ahead of his political journey with the BJP. The Supreme Court on Thursday said that a few over-the-top platforms show some kind of pornographic content at times, and there should be a mechanism to screen such programs. A bench headed by Justice Ashok Bhushan asked Solicitor General Tushar Mehta to place before it the recent guidelines of the government to regulate social media platforms on Friday, when it would hear the plea of Amazon Prime Video's India head Aparna Purohit challenging the Allahabad High Court order rejecting her anticipatory bail in connection with FIRs lodged against her over the web series Tandav. A balance has to be struck as some OTT platforms are also showing pornographic materials on their platforms, the bench, also comprising Justice R.S. Reddy, said. Senior advocate Mukul Rohatgi, appearing for Purohit, termed the case against her as shocking, saying this woman is an employee of Amazon and she's neither a producer nor an actor, but still she has been made and accused in around 10 cases relating to the web series across the country. Tandav, a 9-episode political thriller starring Bollywood A-listers Saif Ali Khan, Dimple Kapadia and Mohammad Zishan Ayub, started streaming recently. A powerful magnitude 8.1 earthquake struck on Friday in the ocean off New Zealand, prompting thousands of people to evacuate and triggering tsunami warnings across the South Pacific. The quake was the largest in a series of tremors that hit the region over several hours, including two earlier quakes that registered magnitude 7.4 and magnitude 7.3. While the quakes triggered warning systems and caused traffic jams and some chaos in New Zealand as people scrambled to get to higher ground, they did not appear to pose a widespread threat to lives or major infrastructure. That's because of the remoteness of where they hit. The largest struck about 1,000 kilometers off the coast of New Zealand. One of the earlier quakes hit much closer to New Zealand and awoke many people during the night as they felt a long, rumbling shaking. "Hope everyone is okay out there," New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern wrote on Facebook. After the largest quake, civil defense authorities in New Zealand told people in certain areas on the east coast of the North Island that they should move immediately to higher ground and not stay in their homes. They said a damaging tsunami was possible. The U.S. Tsunami Warning System also cautioned that it could cause tsunami waves of up to 3 meters in Vanuatu and up to 1 meter in Australia, Fiji, French Polynesia, and as far away as Mexico and Peru. The U.S. Geological Survey said it was centered in the remote Kermadec Islands at a depth of 19 kilometers. Footage of a brutal crackdown on protests against a coup in Myanmar unleashed outrage and calls for a stronger international response on Thursday, a day after 38 people were killed. Videos showed security forces shooting a person at point-blank range and chasing down and savagely beating demonstrators. Despite the shocking violence the day before, protesters returned to the streets on Thursday to denounce the military's February 1 takeover and were met again with tear gas. The international response to the coup has so far been fitful, but a flood of videos shared online showing security forces brutally targeting protesters and other civilians led to calls for more action. The United States called the images appalling. The UN Human Rights Chief said it was time to end the military's stranglehold over democracy in Myanmar, and the world body's independent expert on human rights in the country urged the Security Council to watch the videos before meeting on Friday to discuss the crisis. The coup reversed years of slow progress towards democracy in Myanmar, which for 5 decades had languished under strict military rule that led to international isolation and sanctions. As the generals loosened their grip in recent years, the international community lifted most sanctions and poured in investment. A video shared on social media begins with a group of security forces following a civilian who they seem to have pulled out of a building. A shot rings out and the person falls. After the person briefly raises their head, two of the troops drag the person down the street by the arms. In other footage, about 2 dozen security forces, some with their firearms drawn, chase two people wearing the construction helmets donned by many protesters down a street. When they catch up to the people, they repeatedly beat them with rods and kick them. One of the officers is seen filming the scene on his cell phone. In yet another video, several police officers repeatedly kick and hit a person with rods while the person cowers on the ground, hands over their head. Officers move in and out of the frame, getting a few kicks in, and then casually walk away. As part of the crackdown, security forces have also arrested around 1,200 people, including journalists, according to UN envoy Christine Schreiner-Bergener. More than 500 children are estimated to be among those arbitrarily detained, the UNICEF said on Thursday. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again next week with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Have a very good day and a great weekend.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.